Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Ponderous Department here at Car Talk Plaza. I take it you've been pondering again and nobody caught you yet, huh?
Well, it wasn't me who was pondering, but someone sent me this. Who was it? Marion the Librarian. Unfortunately, I don't know who the author is. Maybe it is Marion the Librarian. These are just things you ought to think about. For example, who was the first person to say, "See that chicken over there? I'm going to eat the next thing that comes out of its butt."
Yeah.
Someone said that somewhere along the way, right?
Well, yeah, yes.
Here's another good one. Can a hearse carrying a corpse drive in the carpool lane? You know, people have been buying the dummies, and they put them next to them in the car so they can drive in the carpool. Why not a hearse?
Well, does the other person have to be breathing? That's a good question.
Yeah, that doesn't say.
It doesn't say.
This is a good question also. They're all good. If quizzes are quizzical, what are tests?
I won't go there.
How about this? Have you ever noticed that when you blow on a dog's face, he gets mad at you? You put him in the car, he sticks his head out the window.
That's true.
That's true. So those are just some things to ponder.
Oh, they were wonderful, and I'm glad you didn't have any more. Anyway, if you have a question that you'd like us to ponder, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Sophie.
Sophie.
I'm calling from St. Louis.
And that has to mean, if your name is Sophie and you're calling from St. Louis, if you're not Polish, I don't know what.
No, I'm not Polish.
You're not? No kidding.
No. I'm from the country that you like so much.
Yes. Oh, no.
You didn't recognize the accent, Tommy?
I wasn't listening to an accent.
Evidently not.
Oh, my God.
I'm French.
Yes, we know that now.
You are.
What do you mean you know that now?
We know from your accent.
Oh, yeah, right.
You sound like my wife's relatives.
Oh, really?
At least the ones that speak English.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, the ones that they can all speak English, but they won't.
Yeah, well.
So damn stubborn. My God. And yet you, Sophie, sound like a rather pleasant person.
Well,
how long have you been away from the mother country?
You should know. You should know all French are.
No.
In spite of what you're saying all the time.
All French are what? Stubborn or wonderful?
No, wonderful.
Wonderful.
Oh, we know that, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
We're just having fun.
Well, you know, the truth is that the Frenchman that I knew the best was a fellow named Sidney Darmon.
What? That's a French name?
Darmon? D-A-R-M-O-N.
Oh, that's your pronunciation.
Darmon.
Darmon. I called him Sidney Darmon, and he responded to that.
Oh, great. That's
so
good.
Stop correcting me. Damn French, you're always correcting everybody. And he was a wonderful person with the greatest sense of humor, always telling jokes.
See?
I don't know where he is today.
See? Probably not in France anymore.
No,
probably not. I think he...
Just
immigrated.
Like me.
What's the matter with your car?
Well, I have a Saab 900, 1991.
Oh.
And guess what? It's laughing.
It's laughing?
No kidding.
Yeah, it's laughing. It's really laughing.
And it's
French. Everybody makes fun of me because my car is laughing. It goes like... It does.
And the noise is coming from one of the wheels. Is it
I don't
not?
Know.
No, you don't know.
I never thought of the wheel. I thought that was coming from the trunk or from the back seat or something like this. And my mechanic looked at it, and he couldn't find anything that was wrong.
And it does it all the time that you're moving? You must be moving.
No, it does it all the time that I'm moving at a low speed, in a low gear.
Right. With your foot off the gas.
That's right. Well, yes, exactly. Yeah. My foot off the gas.
And this fellow drove the car. Your mechanic, he drove it, he heard the noise?
That's right.
And he couldn't find it?
No, he thought, you know, that there was something with maybe the back seat, you know, how it is on the Saab, this back seat unfolds, and he thought maybe something in there was not lubricated enough, so he tried to do something to it, and...
He's going to lubricate the back seat?
Well, it has the fold-down seat.
Yeah, I got a bad seat.
But if he could, if he hears it, he should be able to find
it. Okay, I'll tell him you said that.
Tell him, he should be embarrassed that he can't find it. He shouldn't give up so easily.
Yeah, I mean, he should let you drive.
He's a very nice guy, so I trust him. So.
I mean, the way to do it is he gets in the car in the passenger seat, and he rolls down that window, leaves the other three windows closed, and sticks his ear out the window.
Uh-huh.
And you make it happen. Then he gets in the back seat, opens that window, does the same thing.
I don't have a window. It's a two doors. So, you know, the windows.
Oh, the windows in the back don't.
All right, then break one out.
Break a window. And then patch it up with duct tape.
Sure, we'll do that.
Or is it duct tape?
If you pay for the new window, that's fine with me. You know, that's how we are, French.
Well, he can also fashion what we've used from time to time is we've taken a piece of hose and actually taped it to the side of the car and used that to distinguish whether the noise is coming from the right or the left side.
Oh.
So you have to break it down. You have to do right, left,
front, back.
Uh-huh. And then you isolate it to one quadrant. And then you attack that, usually with a frontal attack. You send the Marines in first. And then the aerial bombardment.
And then the French Foreign Legion.
But tell him to try a piece of hose.
Okay.
It could be something like a stuck brake as well.
Hmm.
You know, that would only make, it could be a disc brake pad moving, going, and it would happen.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
See, I like the pad.
You sound like a dog, kind of. But
or it could be, you could have one of those miniature French poodles stuck in.
Yeah, maybe stuck in my car.
A little schnauzer, perhaps.
After all, I didn't buy the car on you, so maybe that's what it is.
Maybe. But it should be easy to find.
Well, Sophie, welcome to this country.
Well,
I'm glad that you left that other country that you were born in and didn't have anything to do with being born in. And now you've used your more mature mental powers to choose a country which is even worse, I think.
That's right.
But what the heck.
But
welcome, and it's a pleasure to have talked to you.
Okay, thank you.
See you, bye-bye. Sophie. Bonne chance.
Bonne chance.
Yeah. Bye. And a good chance to you, too.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, how are you doing? This is Matthew Clark from Woodbridge, Virginia.
Hey, Matt.
From where?
Woodbridge, Virginia. Woodbridge is south of our nation's capital.
Okay.
And that is?
That would be what?
Washington, D.C. We just had a big party here.
Yeah. Washington, D.C.
Yeah, did you partake in any of the inaugural festivities?
I was right downtown, but I was working, man. I was down here working.
Oh, you're a lawyer, huh?
No. I have a degree in philosophy, but I work as an engineer.
A degree in philosophy. And how is business at the McDonald's?
I've excelled.
Would you like fries with that? I guess if you have a degree in philosophy, if you're into food, you work for McDonald's. Otherwise, if you can ride a bike, you work for one of those courier services.
The Beltway Bandits, as they call
them. Beltway Bandits.
Right.
So what's wrong with your bike?
I wish I had one sometimes, believe me. No, I got a 93 Mercury Sable.
Speaking of couriers, the other day I was walking downtown in a beautiful downtown Boston, and I see a little van, and the name of the courier company is Casual Couriers. I mean, usually they have names like Speedy, Rapid Service.
Right, drive on the sidewalk.
I can just see these guys sort of ambling along. Hey, you going to deliver that? I don't know. Casual Couriers. I mean, what were they thinking when they come up with a name like Casual Couriers?
They were trying to think of something catchy, and they didn't.
Playback service.
Yeah.
All right, so you have a 93 Sable.
Yeah.
And?
How'd you know that?
He's brilliant.
I wasn't paying attention.
I was listening.
93 Sable, yeah.
Yeah, I got a second transmission, and I have this mystery vibration. And I've had it in for service a couple times, spent a couple $100 on it. They finally threw up their hands and said, we don't know what it is. You got to take it to a front-end specialist.
Mm.
And so
that's us.
That's exactly, you know.
So,
I got to take it somewhere. It's really wild, and it only happens at a specific speed. About 66 miles an hour, it becomes possessed.
Uh-huh.
And it starts in the upper right-hand corner, and then what happens is my dashboard shakes violently, okay?
Mm-hmm. Wait, when you say it starts in the upper right-hand corner, of what?
It sounds
of
like
the dashboard?
No, it sounds like it's coming from the wheel. Now, I've gone to the...
Oh, of the car.
Okay, of the, yeah, of the tire, but I've gone to the extent I had my wife drive. I bailed out the side of the window going about 66 miles an hour, like wind whipping out my eyes.
Dangerous. Yeah, you lose your eyebrows like that. Just blow them right off.
Right, you know, to see if the wheel is, like, out of balance and off.
Trees going down in a hurricane.
My kids thought it was great. Yeah, there, go.
Yeah. Push him, push him.
How'd you know? So, I mean, the wheel wasn't vibrating. I've had it aligned. They took it. They put new tires in the front. That didn't do it. Then they put four new tires on it. That didn't do it.
Ooh.
And so they've gone the whole balancing routine, the whole alignment routine, and this is one that kind of threw their, you know, their hands up on the deal.
Mm. You have
so,
to go...
I mean, where else could I turn in this nation?
Where else could you turn but to us?
Exactly. Yeah.
Just imagine your disappointment.
Balancing, tires.
Well, I'm going to suggest two things.
What's it?
I mean, it could easily be a bad wheel bearing in the right front, and why it would choose 66 miles an hour, I don't know.
Okay.
But before I did that, because that is incontrovertible, I would go ahead and replace the right front axle.
Oh, because that is more expensive.
Well, no, your mechanic can take that and put it back in the box and put it on the shelf. In order to replace the bearing, they will have to destroy your old one. So you will be buying the new one, whether you need it or not.
Okay, so once it's done, it's done.
Once it's done. But ask them to put a new axle in or a rebuilt axle and take the car out and drive it. And I suspect your problem will go away.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot, guys.
See ya.
See you later.
Okay, bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julie. I'm in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
No.
Hi, yeah. Julie.
Get out.
Yes.
What part of Cambridge?
Near Harvard.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So are we.
Oh.
As you know, our executive offices.
Yeah, I knew you guys were just sort of down the road.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Well, I don't have a car question. I have a lore of the road question.
Lore of the road.
Yes.
Okay.
You Harvard people are so erudite.
Well, I lived in China for some years, and of course in mainland China, they drive like we do on the right hand of the side of the road. But in Hong Kong, because it was a British colony,
that's right, they drive on
the
left
side. So I'll never forget in 1997 when Hong Kong returned to China.
Yeah.
I was there, and a government official asked me, "So, when America gained independence from Britain, did you all start driving on the other side of the road?"
Well, we did, actually. I remember the day. It was 1776. And I was driving to work. And all of a sudden, all this traffic was coming toward me, and I had no idea why.
What I said to him was, "Well, we didn't have cars then." But I thought, surely there was a convention, even for horses and buggies, that you drove on a certain side of the road.
Did Hong Kong change?
No, they didn't. Everybody still drives on the left side
of
the road.
Well, they can't change.
They can't change now.
Because the steering wheels are all in the wrong place.
Right.
I mean, Sweden was the last country to change,
right.
I believe.
Uh-huh.
But they already had the steering wheel where we have it. And those bozos were driving on the left with the steering wheel on the left. That must have been exciting. And then they changed one day.
Uh-huh.
And they did it. They changed it over at like midnight, figuring that the fewest number of people would be affected, except everyone in Sweden set their alarm clocks and got up at 11:30, got in their car to go out and drive to see what it would be like to drive on the other side of the street. And it created a mass hysteria. But so, anyway,
was there a question embedded in all of this, Julie?
How did we start driving on the right hand of side of the road when
they were probably doing it just like teenagers?
Uh-huh.
To be contrary.
I mean,
they said if the Brits do it on the left, whatever they do,
we're not going to do it. Uh-huh.
That might have been the rationale. Although I have to say I wasn't here at the time, and I'm sure that there is some historian at some place like Harvard who's got nothing better to do but to research something as silly and inane and useless.
Well, I think Brits used the left-hand side of the road, I believe, in the old days when knights carried their swords in the right hand so that you could do battle with somebody.
Or that would do it.
If you in your normal travel, if you needed to like lop somebody's head off, you would
want to do it right-handed.
You wouldn't have to use the backhand.
Exactly.
You could use the forehand.
And it all probably comes down to that. I like it.
No, I'm pretty sure it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And by the time we did it, We didn't have any.
But we just decided the right-hand side was better.
Yeah, and wow. We probably did it just to tick them off.
Yeah, probably.
That's
yeah.
what I would have done.
Our founding fathers.
Yeah, and so I heard recently that the English are considering changing over.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wouldn't that upset the apple cart, so to speak?
It's almost as serious as a sex change operation. Wow.
Well, I don't know if we shed any light, Julie, on academic query here. But...
Well, you've cleared it up for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it was anti-British, and I think that it had to do with knights.
And days. It was like there's a problem of knights and days.
Night and day.
See you later, Julie.
Thanks,
okay,
Julie.
Thanks.
That's
what
I'm
calling. Okay, bye.
She needs more to do.
Okay, are you ready? Yes. Okay, Tommy, look, it's time to help you I like this, actually. Instead of just embarrassing you every week, I'm helping you to remember last week's puzzler.
Go ahead.
You ready?
I'm feeling lucky.
Okay.
Go ahead. Do it.
Here are your fill-in-the-blank hints. Ready?
Yes!
On last year's tax return, you reported that your net worth was blank.
Zero.
I said net worth, not self-worth. I was looking for $1,000.
Oh, all right. I had a good year.
Well, here's the second hint. When someone hit the numbers right, Uncle Nunzio would slip him a what?
A Mickey.
Well, sometimes, but I was looking for envelope.
Oh.
Because the puzzler was about $1,000 and 10 envelopes.
Oh.
Or envelopes. What's the right pronunciation of that word?
I think envelopes is right. Envelopes is a little bit pretentious, don't you think?
Envelope, yes.
I like envelope.
Right.
It's basic.
Right. I was enveloped by smoke. enveloped by smoke. Anyway, we'll have the answer in just a minute.
Oh, I got a little car and she might go far. She's the mistress of my heart now. She's a 65 with an overdrive. I don't care if I never been back. Two in the front, down two in the back. 110 on the old lock's back. My MGPGT, she's a runner now. MGPGT. Well, my MGPGT, she's a runner now.
And even though Carl Castle wonders if that job selling aluminum siding is still available, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. I guess you'd have to call this a mathematical puzzler, and the one thing I liked about it is that it was brief.
It was brief, and it left little room for obfuscation, and it didn't need any obfuscation.
All right, here it is.
Go ahead.
I gave Tommy 1,000 $1 bills, and his assignment was, first, to come up with 10 envelopes.
Yeah.
And once he did that, he had to figure out a way to put various numbers of dollar bills in those 10 envelopes so that no matter what amount of money I asked him for, he could hand me some combination of envelopes and always be sure of giving me the exact right amount. The question is, how did he do it?
That's the question. I thought the question was, what was going on in your mind that you gave me $1,001 bills?
And I could have given a hint last week and said one of the envelopes has $489 in it.
Oh.
Could have given that hint.
Really?
Well, yeah. And the other envelopes, the other nine, have $1.
I like that.
$2.
Yeah.
$4.
Mm-hmm.
$8.
$16.
$32. $64. $128, and the ninth envelope has $256. Now, if you add those up, $256, $128, $64, $32, you come up with $511. Because in base two, the next number would be
512.
Would be 512.
Yeah.
Okay, or 2 to the 10th would be 512. But you couldn't put 512 because you don't have it to put in there.
No.
So you can put 489. So you can get any possible number between 1 and 511 by using the first nine envelopes. Mm-hmm. And then anything beyond 511 up to 1,000, using 489 plus 1 gives you 490. 489 plus 2 gives you 491. Da 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 da.
Man.
Pretty good, huh?
Wow.
Give him my $1,000 back. It was only on a loan.
Well, give me my envelopes back.
A further demonstration of the power
of two.
Of two.
Whew, man.
You can't do it unless the number is two. There you go. See? The power of two. Right?
They'll never let you. They just won't leave you alone, you know?
No.
I'm almost feeling sorry now. I'm going to have to stick up for my little brother. Yeah. Lay off the guy.
Jeez. I know. Relentless.
I'm telling you.
And it's
you.
Everybody, too.
I told him to do it. And we have a winner. The winner is Betty Benson from Houston, Texas. And for having her answer selected at random from the wastebasket full of correct answers that we did get, Betty's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com. And with that, Betty can get 1.392756601/67 of a CarTalk t-shirt. There's one of these in the Smithsonian, you know.
There is?
Yeah, Smithsonian Transmission Rebuilders on Lansdowne Street.
Good luck, Betty. Congratulations. Anyway, we'll have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show. That power of two again. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ainsley from Buffalo, New York.
Ainsley?
Yes.
A-I-N-S-L-E-Y?
That's correct.
Really?
Yeah, I'm
from
impressed.
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
How did you get stuck in Buffalo?
Oh, it's a long story.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got time. Go ahead.
No, I married an American boy. We moved here last year.
Uh-huh.
Everyone laughs at an Australian in Buffalo. I don't go outdoors much for 6 months
Man,
of the year.
Man, you went from the most beautiful weather to about the
worst
maybe. It can get.
Yeah, Buffalo is...
cold.
Yeah, cold and snowy, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ainsley, what's cooking?
Well, I have a very nice little 97 Honda Civic.
Uh-huh.
It's my husband's pride and joy. It's our only car. And he was turning into the driveway after our first really decent snow here in Buffalo. And he hit a chunk of ice that he describes as something he couldn't see but thought he could ride over the top of.
Yeah.
And it didn't make it. And there's a big chunk out of our bumper bar. We have a sawtoothed crack on the bottom of the bumper bar. Then there's like a 2-inch chunk missing, and then a big horizontal fissure that kind of leads right to the license plate.
Yeah.
We can't replace the bumper because in July of last year, I gave the car a little bit of a facelift by running into a Chevy Lumina.
Uh-huh.
So we can't make another insurance claim.
Oh, I see.
Oh, because they paid you for that bumper, which you never replaced.
That's right.
There you go.
The bumper that's staying on forever.
Yeah.
So my husband epoxied it up. And he did a pretty good job, except that there's still a hole in it where we lost the chip. But it's all epoxied. It's all covered. But I do a lot of highway driving, and our car is absolutely covered in salt. You can't even tell what color it is.
Yeah.
It's so salty. And I'm really worried that I'm going to be driving an epoxied bumper and nothing else by the end of the winter because it's just going to rust it into nothing. My husband won't let me take it through a drive-through cleaning car wash.
Yeah. No, he's afraid the hot water will dissolve the epoxy.
That's exactly what he says. He says it's all going to dissolve. If you clean it, it'll dissolve.
No.
No?
No.
Excellent. So I can take it through even one of those ones that washes the underside?
Exactly.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Really?
First of all, you
there are some cars that are all epoxy.
Well, I know it's mostly plastic. But
Well, you should be comforted by the fact that the thing that he epoxied, you know, the bumper,
uh-huh.
is actually not the bumper at all. It's merely the bumper cover.
The plastic cover.
Right. I mean, there's a fascia that goes over the real bumper,
uh-huh.
which is made out of steel. So you have a real bumper protecting you. And even if this thing were to fall off, which you know it's going to,
yeah,
because he Mickey Mouse repaired it, it won't affect the crashworthiness of the car
oh,
if it had any to begin with.
it's crashworthiness is decreasing, let me tell you.
Yeah. But if you don't wash it, you will shorten its life because I'm sure they must throw tons of salt on the roads in Buffalo.
Oh, unbelievable amount.
What did they do in Buffalo before there was salt? Or was there always salt?
They didn't go anywhere. They just looked out the window.
And they said,
looked at the snow.
We should throw some salt on this stuff. Maybe we could leave the house.
Some days you still can't leave the house, even with salt.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that the price we pay, I mean, for being able to leave our houses is that we ruin our cars. And you can help by doing the undercarriage wash and all that.
Okay.
But it doesn't help a whole lot because as soon as you leave the car wash, the salt gets
right back up there.
But it does help a little bit.
Okay.
You know, but go to the car wash.
Go to the car wash. I'll do
that right
now.
No problem.
Tell them it's all right.
If it breaks, it's his epoxying job, not the epoxy.
Exactly.
Absolutely. See you, Ainsley.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
And welcome to America.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rich from Williston, Vermont.
Hey, Rich.
How you doing?
Williston.
Williston, snowy Williston.
What part of Vermont? Middle, top, bottom,
east? It's top right outside of Burlington, Vermont.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Burlington.
And it's snowy and cold, but beautiful.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. All you Burlington people are nuts.
Why?
Never mind. We won't get into that.
You're all a bunch of wackos.
It has to do with wax things under your feet and steep slopes.
Oh, okay. That explains
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that too. So what's up, Rich?
Well, I have a 1995 Grand Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an experience where my boss, believe it or not, I work in Stowe, Vermont for a software company, and my boss, the president of the company, was traveling overseas, and he was at the airport about 45 minutes away when he called the office and said he forgot his passport. Mm. So I hopped in my trusty Grand Cherokee, and...
I can see it all happening now.
And his flight was leaving in 35 minutes.
Oh, so he was 45 minutes away, but leaving in 35 minutes.
Yes.
I got it.
You are correct, sir.
Yeah, I see a problem.
So I hop in the Grand Cherokee, and, of course, give it the ride of its life.
Yeah.
Drove about, I hope there's no state police listening, but mind you, it's too late at this point. But
they monitor all calls. So you did this to curry favor with the boss, hoping that you'd get a raise.
Big time, but now there's a big space in my wallet, and we'll get to that in a minute. But so I hopped in the car and drove about 95 miles an hour to the airport, and I made it.
Wow.
So, of course, I was the hero of the day, made it, got the boss's passport, and left the airport, and the car started to act a little funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's really between gears. So, the typical spot is between first and second gear. It starts to sort of sputter.
Bucks. How about bucks?
Yeah.
So as it's shifting from first to second?
As it's shifting from first to second. So there's more to this.
Yeah.
I go to the dealership, the Jeep dealer down the road here, and about $2,000 later... mind you, not all of it was a result of that. I had to get new brakes, which, of course, is about $800 for one of these things. I had to get a front output shaft, exhaust manifold, 30,000-mile checkup. So I went to the dealership, drove it out, and the same problem.
But what did they do that was supposed to have solved this problem?
I don't know. I explained
the brakes?
It to them. They, I mean, the tune-up, I suppose. I don't know.
The tune-up, the brakes.
When did you first... in other words, when you were driving to Burlington International Airport there at 99 miles an hour, did you notice it then or on the way back?
I didn't notice it, of course, until he took the passport in his hand and I hopped back in the car and drove away.
Wait, did he kiss you on both cheeks at least?
and gave me a kick, but we won't talk about that. but anyway, I went back to the dealer, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I went out for a ride with a mechanic, and there's a slight incline outside of the dealership.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't recreate it, and he started talking about... transmission sensors or something like that, and they could take it apart, and it would be $400-some-odd to do it, but they're not sure that would fix it.
Well, I don't think the problem is in the transmission.
I think the problem is in the
engine management system. I think one of the sensors is bad, and in this $2,000 checkup they did, they should have thrown the scanner on it and maybe found out if one of the sensors is out of range.
Well, it's sort of funny that you mentioned that, because she talked about putting it on the computer when I went back again, but they're going to charge me to do that.
Well, I would ask them that they do that for free.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to take a wild stab that you have a bad throttle position sensor.
Wow. That sounds expensive and complicated.
Cheap. short money.
No, this is good. You should pray for this.
Okay.
And that could affect the way the thing shifts or seems to shift.
Okay.
And I don't think you did it driving 95 miles an hour.
It just
happened.
Just a coincidence.
Next time, take his car.
Great.
So, good luck, Rick.
Thanks a bunch.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it, guys.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tamiko Whitaker from Okemos, Michigan.
Tamika?
Tamiko.
Tamiko.
It's like Amico, but with a T?
It's T as in Tom.
Yeah.
O-M-I-K-O.
Tomiko.
Tomiko. I've got it. Okay. And where are you from?
I'm from Okemos, Michigan.
O-K-I-M-U-S?
O-K-E-M-O-S.
E-M-O-S. Boy, you got some interesting little spelling tests here for us.
Both of which, I might add, we failed. I'm now working on Michigan.
That would be M-I.
M-I.
Tamiko.
Yes.
So what's up?
I have a problem with my Honda Civic. I bought the car used about 2 years ago, and I took the car for a test drive, and we had the air conditioning on, and it was on full at the number 4.
Mm-hmm.
No problem at all. I got the car about 3 days later, get in the car, I turn the air conditioning on, and these sunflower seeds just start attacking me on just the end vents, not the middle, just the end.
Really?
So I thought it was like, you know, it's a new car thing. You know, they put this stuff in here because it's like, you know, you bought a new car or whatever, or used car.
Oh, it's like throwing rice at a wedding, you
right,
mean.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I said, okay, you know, this will eventually go away. So I was going on through the summer, and every time I turn the air conditioning on, I get attacked. I was going to work. I had my suit on. I get to work. I have sunflower seeds all in my hair.
I got it.
I don't know how to get them out.
Now, I originally thought that an inconsiderate salesman had inadvertently spilled a package of sunflower seeds down the defrost vent.
No,
but I will take that back. A rodent has found a sunflower in your neighborhood.
A pack rat.
And is storing the seeds in your ventilation system.
But I'm 70. I commute from Ann Arbor to Okemos. They couldn't possibly be fine.
Wait, now, this happened the day you picked up the car.
The day I picked up the car.
I mean, let's look at it from the rodent's perspective.
Okay.
From the rodent's perspective, your car doesn't move.
Right.
I mean, wherever the sunflower happens to be, and it's dropping its seeds on the ground, or however the rodent is harvesting them, they find your car, and they find a place to hide them, because if they don't hide them, other creatures will eat them.
Let me give you a little bit of information.
I don't need any more.
No, don't forget, this is
unencumbered by the thought process.
There's no seeds in the sunflower seeds. They're already eaten.
Who ate them?
I don't know.
The rodents took them. They didn't eat them. They took them, and they're storing them.
Well, wait a second.
They're storing just the shell?
For 2 years? This is happening for 2 years?
Yes, they're going in there, they're eating them, and they're leaving the shells behind, and the shells are light enough so that they can get blown around.
Uh-huh.
They may have been in there for a long time.
Okay.
But I guarantee you that a mouse or a mole or some other small rodent is storing these things in your ventilation system.
This happened 2 years ago when you bought the car, and it's been happening consistently week after week, at least in the months that you use the air conditioner.
Air conditioning or the heat.
And is there not a sunflower growing in your neighborhood?
Not that I know of.
Of course, there's a sunflower growing in everybody's neighborhood.
Yeah, you have to find that sunflower and put the following chemical on it. Triox, vegetation killer.
I got to get these sunflower seeds out of my car.
Well, why?
Well, they may not be in there. I mean, you may be, in fact, blowing them out.
Okay.
You are blowing them out, but what you have to do is prevent more from getting in there.
Okay.
These seeds have been stored in there a long time ago. That sunflower is long gone.
Okay.
But next spring, I would canvass the area, so to speak, and find out who's planning to plant sunflowers and discourage them. See you, Tamiko.
You've been very helpful.
I'm sure. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Good luck, Tamiko.
Look, it's time for us to take a break and get ready for the final push.
You're talking about the plan for bourbon and the roof deck? Or are you talking about us getting through the last part of the show?
The show? Don't worry, Dougie. He was just kidding. You can unhook that harness now. We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute, so stay tuned.
This sign, reduce your speed. cops pulled me over. Boy, can't you read it? Merge left, merge right, up ahead. Red brake lights shining off the wet roadbed. And the white was keeping time with the radio. I got AAA 'cause the road is like a rodeo. And the white was keeping time with the radio. I got AAA 'cause the road is like a rodeo.
And even though Manti Te'o wishes we were imaginary, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. Now, I'm going to need my brother's help for
this. Yeah, thing. Yeah, really? Go ahead. What is it? Do I know this Puzzler?
Yeah, we discussed it in the green room. Oh, you were sleeping.
Green room? I'm colorblind.
This is another in the series of driving back and forth to work. Back to work, and you're right?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember the sun puzzle?
The sun was in your eyes, the bus.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is another in that.
Another one in that series.
Except I'm not going to work in this case. I'm coming home from work,
where
I'm usually a lot more attentive. To get home, I wend my way through the back streets of Cambridge, going through various neighborhoods, some of which are what you'd call commercially zoned. That is, they have businesses of one kind or another, industrial buildings, little factories or warehouses or office buildings and the like.
Yeah.
And there's one building that I pass every day that makes me chuckle.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, on these buildings, as you might expect, they have the name of whatever the enterprise is contained within its walls.
Yeah.
Okay? So I see this building, and I see it almost every day, or at least when I notice it, I chuckle, because its name, in other words, the name of the company that's on the building, seems incongruous with the building.
Why?
Okay, now,
nothing particularly unique about this building. Lots of other buildings just like it.
Lots of other buildings, many other buildings just like it. But it's because, I guess, of the sign on this building that I chuckle. And as a matter of fact, if you went into this building and asked for a demonstration of the product they sell, they wouldn't be able to give you one.
Really?
However, if they took you to a building perhaps next door or a few doors down, they could easily give you a demonstration, I think, of the product that they sell.
Really?
So the question, I'm going to give some more hints.
No.
Oh, I think so.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, Dave says, yeah, more hints. I could safely say that each and every one of us has used this product that they sell.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all
for
right.
For sure.
Yeah.
And some of us use this product that they sell each and every day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all I'm going to say. So there are two possible answers. You can't do it unless the number is two.
Man, they're quick with that, aren't they? Musselman, you say anything. Bingo!
Yeah. So I was going to give another hint.
I think that's fine.
No more hints.
No more hints.
Okay.
It's excellent just as it is.
God, if you think you know the answer.
Anyone have it yet?
No one's got it. If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or preferably on the bottom of a Steinway Louis XV Rococo period grand piano in walnut satin finish with Carpathian elm burl. Sent it to Puzzler Tower, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Oh, ma.
No.
Our Fair City. I get it. I was just wondering if the post office would take that if you just threw a couple of stamps on it. The Steinway.
02238. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, you can, of course, call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, Tom and Ray.
Yes, who's this?
Mike Haverty in Palos Heights.
Hi,
how are
Mike.
You?
Palos Heights?
Yes.
That sounds like it's in Illinois someplace.
It is in Illinois. I think it stands for Indian, or it's Indian for, now that we know that we're at, how do we get out of here?
Well, what's the name of the place?
Palos Heights.
Oh, Palos.
Palos, how do you spell it?
Right. P-A-L-O-S.
Cool. So what's on your mind, Michael?
Well, I've got a 1989 Honda Accord with about 130,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it in storage for about 2 years, waiting for a couple of teenagers to get a hold of it, because I sure as hell didn't want them driving my car.
Are these teenagers, are they related to you in any way?
Yes, they are.
Are they male or female?
One of each.
Okay.
I happen to be expert in this area. As you know, my son has now totaled 3 vehicles in 12 months.
That's a scary thought in itself.
Isn't it?
Right. It's preface. Especially scary since Guinness just called last week.
Yeah. Well, so you put this car in storage.
Uh-huh.
Didn't want them to wreck your car.
Exactly.
And now they're getting up to be 16 or whatever number of years old it takes to drive.
Exactly. One's got their license and the other one's getting it soon.
Cool.
So I'm going to pull it out of storage. I've been starting it every so often, and it runs pretty well, and I've kept it up in oil and fresh gas and stuff.
Yeah.
But the last time I started, I found out that the alternator bearings froze. So I figured, okay, it's no big deal. I just go ahead and replace the alternator until I popped the hood and took a look at where it's at.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The back side of the engine, brake cylinder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is like, where's Waldo? Where's the alternator?
do I need a trained rat with a wrench to get in there and get this thing out?
That hasn't been tried. That has not been tried yet.
I'm wondering, do you have to drop the engine out of the car or pull
no.
the fenders off to do it?
No. You have to get under the car.
Okay.
First thing you have to do is disconnect the battery.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Always disconnect. When in doubt.
Yes.
Disconnect the battery. And then you're going to get underneath the car, and you're going to see a little bit more than you can see. You know what you're going to see? The bottom of the alternator.
Okay.
And you're going to, there are actually 2 bolts that hold the alternator in.
Okay. And when you get underneath the car, I mean, I don't know if you've done this before, you're going to jack it up and you're going to put a real good jack stand
under
there.
A couple of jack stands up underneath it.
You got it. Okay.
Right.
So
you put your blanket on the ground so you can lie down under there, or you get on your creeper or
whatever.
Probably
got his own creeper.
And then you're going to find that there's 1 bolt that holds the alternator to a bracket.
Okay.
Okay, and then there's another bolt that holds the alternator to the slide mechanism up at the top.
Which is used to adjust the tension on the belt.
And you're going to take off those bolts, and then you're going to realize that the alternator doesn't come out.
Okay.
And sometimes, on some Hondas, you can sneak the alternator out by, if you were good at solid geometry when you were in school.
It's disconnected. It's not connected to anything.
Okay.
But it won't come out from where it is. You may have to leave it there and put the new one in next to it.
Okay, no, if I go over some railroad tracks, I should bounce it out then.
Well, if you're clever and you twist and turn and blah, 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 and move things around, you may be able to get it out. But if you can't, you may have to pull out the axle.
Mm.
You're saying, oh, jeez, forget it. I didn't bargain for this.
Take the axle out?
You may have to take out the driver's side axle, but I think you can sneak this out without pulling the axle.
Okay.
Alternatively, you could do it all from the top by removing the master cylinder and the booster and the cylinder head and the dashboard.
Or I could just get a torch and cut the fender off from the side and go in that way?
You could do that, or you could take it someplace and have it done.
Okay, that's the other alternative.
But I would try to get it out from underneath, because I think you can sneak it out and have the new one at the ready, because when you've turned and twisted and rotated and done everything you have to do to get that one out, you want to be able to reproduce your steps in reverse.
Okay.
And put that new one right in there, because don't break for lunch when you get it out, because you'll never get the other one back in.
Fair enough. I was afraid that if this thing gets locked up in there forever, I'll just give the kids a couple of hammers and let them beat the car to death where it's parked.
There you go.
Save myself the trouble.
Good luck, Mike.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Maybe you could, put some plastic explosive on it and blow it up right there. Then take all the pieces out.
Oh, blow the alternator
out. Blow the alternator
out. How do you get the new one in?
Huh?
Same way. I thought so. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
How you guys doing?
Good. Who's this?
So I'm Kathy Lambeth. I'm the den leader of Wolf Den 7, Pack 35 in Tualatin, Oregon.
Ooh.
Wow.
So you're a den mother.
I'm a den mom.
So that's,
I have the uniform to prove it.
Is that Girl Scouts?
That is Cub Scouts.
Cub Scouts.
Cub.
Little second grade boys.
Oh, boys. Yeah.
And so I just happened to be sanding the wheels of the Pinewood Derby car with my variable speed sander.
Uh-huh.
and phoning a few parents for just some friendly advice.
Oh, and how to make the Pinewood Derby thing go faster?
That's the one.
Well,
and of course, my son was involved totally in the whole process.
Well, I was involved in the Pinewood Derby thing for many years, having seen two boys through Cub Scouts.
Is this where it all got started?
This is where it all got started. Actually, my younger boy wasn't interested. The older, Louis, was interested in Cub Scouts, and he saw it through right to Boy Scouts.
Did he?
Then they threw him out with some moral charge. I don't know. But anyway,
it was a parental thing.
I was disappointed, I guess, that the parents got involved in it to the extent that they did. After all, it's designed so that the kids can learn.
Oh, get serious. Get a grip.
Right. I mean, you see this 6-year-old kid with a belt sander?
What this thing is, for those people that don't know, the Cub Scouts nationwide have a Pinewood Derby where they give these kids a block of wood.
It's a little thing.
And a bunch of, a block of wood is like 6 by 2 by 2. Is that what it is?
That's right.
Okay, and they give you a couple of wheels and some little nails to attach the wheels to the block. And you can do anything you want with this thing with a piece of sandpaper and a broken piece of glass. And you can basically sand and smooth and whatever, and you can lubricate the axles, which are nails, with graphite.
Right.
And you can paint it, and you can do anything else like that, but you can't add weight to it except more than a couple of quarters worth of weight, right?
All you can add. That's my question. Boy, your perception.
That's your question.
The car can weigh up to 5 ounces.
Oh, and the block of wood weighs 1 ounce.
The block of wood, when you get it, weighs about 3, but you got to, you know, you monkey with it. And
you sand it down.
Right, sand it down. So each car kind of takes on its own.
So you want to know where to embed the lead weights.
Should there be any lead weights at all?
Any lead weights, it could be any weights at all.
Yeah. Where should you put them?
Well, and the track is about 20 feet. The first, maybe third or a little bit more, is a 45-degree drop.
Right, so they give you the head of steam.
Right, and
so
then
you launch the cars from the top.
And then it levels out?
And it levels out. And the cars are almost always equal going into the off the drop, but you get on the straightaway, and the men are separated from the boys, literally.
Yeah. Oh. Well, you know why they're equal? Galileo figured that out.
Yeah.
Because they're falling... They're falling. They're in free fall, basic, almost.
Falling bodies.
And as we know, free fall doesn't matter if you drop a ton of feathers or a ton of bricks.
No. But we have learned through a multitude of telephone calls and research that what does matter the most is getting as close as possible to the 5 ounces. Because if your car weighs 4.9 ounces, forget it.
Sure. Well, because it's 1/2 mv squared. 1/2
is what?
MV
or something like
squared.
That's just the kinetic energy.
That's how much kinetic energy it has, and that's equivalent to mv is momentum.
Yeah, so
you're
what?
You're making that up.
M, mass.
So what does momentum have to do with velocity?
Well, my question is...
F equals ma.
What it means is that if you look at the equation... K equals 1/2 mv squared, that your car has the potential to do more damage when it crashes into something if it's heavier.
Correct.
But it's not going to go any faster.
Sir, I've never understood this.
Well, you're about
I flunked 801 twice.
Professor Tisa.
From Professor Laszlo Tisa. Mr. Magalose, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to give you an F.
Again.
Again. And I said, Professor Tisa... Thank you. God knows I've earned it.
And God bless.
But I was good in chemistry, if that matters.
Well, yeah, it didn't matter to him.
In math, I was okay in math.
So what is anyone giving you a reason why this makes a difference? Because I don't quite see it.
I've never understood it.
Well, it's basic statistical observation.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Cars that are 4.9 don't finish as high as cars that are 5.0.
Yeah, the heavier cars win. There is no question about that.
Now, in our ever-increasing quest as concerned parents...
Concerned about winning parents.
Concerned about...
To beat the living, you know what, out of all those other naughty little second-grade boys...
We're going to kick some butt here, boys.
We're kicking some Pinewood butt.
That's the attitude.
Yeah.
Okay, we want to know, is it better to equally distribute the weight front and back, center it, which is what some of the flyers from Boys Life tell you,
yeah.
or put it all in the back,
Jeez.
Which is my vote.
Well, let's see.
First of all, this is not the first time I've thought about this.
No, you were in the damn derby.
I made many a Pinewood car.
Yeah, and what'd you do?
Lost every time. Because I refuse to...
What am I talking to you guys?
Well, I refuse to believe that the weight made that much of a difference.
So your recommendation would be contour versus weight?
Now, I would go for the reduce the weight, just have four wheels, no body.
Okay, so when my son comes in dead last...
yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I explained to him...
You explained to him that it was those morons.
Well, you do want to reduce what we call the feather effect.
Ah, the feather effect.
Yeah, if your car is too light... then it will be affected adversely by, it's like dropping a feather and a golf ball.
It'll be blown all over the track.
It'll be blown all over the place. That might be the only reason for adding the weight. And
yeah,
that is the only reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To reduce that effect, to reduce the adverse effects of the aerodynamics.
And does Galileo refer to this, or does 801 call it the feather effect?
No, but I do.
I think you had feathers on the
brain. What's that stuff? Good luck, Kathy. And look it. We want a full written report.
With photos.
With photos
with
of the photo finish.
Thanks, Kathy.
We're counting on it.
And God knows you're going to need a lot of luck, and I'm giving it to you right now.
And if we can think of any other way for you to cheat, we'll call you.
Amen. See ya.
The spirit of America is alive and well.
There's a woman who's taking motherhood, as she should. A big joke.
way too seriously. Well, you've wasted an otherwise perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Punkin' Lips Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blooper, Penaloser. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his lackluster performance at the Walla Walla Curry Lentil Loaf-Off, is John Bugsy Waller. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge in Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our document security expert from the island of Jamaica is Euripides Upman, who is not related to our tailor, Euripides Imenides, or to our staff bouncer, Euripides, I break your face, or to the proprietor of our men's clothing shop, Euripides Euonides. Our divorce attorney is Carmine, not yours. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Audovindo. Our director of Pavlovian research is Isabel Ringing. Our Shakespearean waiter is Coffee Anon. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. The banker at the Car Talk Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. We're going to need bigger offices, man. The staff is expanding at a geometric rate.
Isabel Ringing.
Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the snowshoeing meter maids in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1304, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a topic on which many would say I'm one of the nation's leading experts.
Oh, beard-based food storage?
No, how to keep your car running forever.
I suppose so. These days, a lot of folks are planning to hold on to their cars an extra year or two.
Or 10.
So we've written up our best advice on keeping your car running long-term.
Rule number one. Never let my brother work on it.
Or let my brother live in it.
How to keep your car running forever. Our best advice available all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Carthusian monks send us brochures on the benefits of a lifetime of silence whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.